Water. As an island, we're surrounded by it. And in terms of weather, we seem to get more than our fair share of rain. But why, with so much water around us, can we have water shortages? And how safe is our water supply? I'm Dr. Lara Dungan, and in this episode of Science is Everywhere, I'm exploring the science of water, H2O. As human beings, our bodies are 60% water, and it's one of the few things that we can't live without. But we often turn on a tap and simply expect it to be there, or even worse, just flush it away, don't we?
It's just a complete waste, the amount of water that people are wasting and the amount of people that don't have water. It's a big problem.
Yeah, I would be very conscientious about it. I try to not run the water when I'm brushing my teeth, put on less washes.
Water wastage isn't really a big thing. Like, if they collect rainwater and then filter it, like, that's a way of like helping get more water.
Hate water wastage and have done for years because I think it's a precious commodity.
I live in Westmead, so we have a well, so we don't really kind of like care about the water wastage.
I don't like wasting water.
I guess for the rest of people who don't have to pay for water, it's not as important to them, I guess, until they actually probably start paying for water.
And while we appreciate that tap of water and take it as a right, we are not all so happy about facing a bill for it.
I know a lot of people waste it a lot, but for somebody who is conscious of how much they use, it's just really sad.
I think they should come up with an idea of maybe trying to charge people who are wasting it rather than just charging people altogether for it.
Not happy about it. If we have to pay, we have to pay, but we'd rather we didn't.
Well, nobody likes charges. It's like the property tax. I think it's maybe a good thing, although Ireland's full of water, but at the same time, there maybe should have to be a charge.
Is it necessary? Do they really have to?
It's a good thing. I think if somebody wants to water a lawn, water a car, you know, have 50 showers a week, they need to pay for it. And if somebody wants to conserve water, recycle water, they should benefit from not wasting water.
So we know we need it, even if we're a bit reluctant to pay for it. But where does our tap water come from? And while we see water all around us, in the oceans and in our rain, why is clean water often scarce? I'm out in UCD at Belfield's iconic water tower with scientist Micheál Brún. And Micheál, you're a bit of an expert in this stuff, aren't you?
I'm an environmental hydrologist. That means that I study and I teach and I research things to do with water.
So Micheál, that question then, where does our water come from?
The water is following a cycle around the Earth. So if you think of a cycle, there isn't a beginning and there isn't an end. So when you ask the question, where does the water come from? You could say anything. You could point to the sky and say, well, it comes as rainfall or as snow, if you're in Scandinavia, and it falls on the ground and into our rivers and our lakes, and we can pick it up from the rivers and lakes. Or it soaks into the ground, into the groundwater, and we pick it up through wells or through springs coming from the ground. But in fact, when we use that water, or even if we don't, and it'll still flow to the rivers and springs back to the sea, and the underground water eventually will reach the sea again, it will be evaporated by the sun back up into the atmosphere and fall again as rain. So when you say, where does it come from, it could be any part of the cycle, really.
But I know I just drank a glass of tap water there, so is that then Irish water?
In fact, the water that we drink in any particular day could have been anywhere in the world, in the sea, in the ground, in Antarctica. It could be, even and probably is, more travelled than we are.
So Micheál, is our drinking water coming mainly from the rain?
Well, Ireland is shaped like a bowl. We've got a lot of mountains on the outside of the country, close to the sea, and flat land in the middle. So because of that flat centre, Ireland has a lot of lakes and rivers leading from the centre of the country. Now, we also have a lot of rainfall, about a metre on average per year. A depth of water falls on the country, or maybe a little bit more. So a lot of Ireland's water supply comes from these lakes and the rivers that lead from them. Possibly between 60 and 70% of the water we drink would come from those surface sources. However, there's a significant amount of water coming from groundwater sources as well, between 30 and 40%. But in particular parts of the country, these are prominent. For instance, Dungarvan in Waterford has a large groundwater source fed from aquifers. Boyle in County Roscommon is fed from underneath Rockingham Forest Park. And there are different parts of the country that have different sets of circumstances and different mixes of groundwater or surface water as sources.
Oh, my dearest Dublin, on the Liffey side.
And I'm now down by the lovely, if a little smelly, River Liffey in the heart of Dublin city. Now, amazingly, as Micheál told me, the River Liffey is the source of some 60% of the city's drinking water. Yet, when you look at it here, dark and green, it's hard to imagine ever drinking it. But I'm with a man who has had more than a few mouthfuls of it, visual artist Fergal McCarthy. Now, Fergal, you're a little bit obsessed with the river.
When I moved to Dublin, I lived in Temple Bar and I crossed the Halfpenny Bridge every day for a year or two. Then one day, the sun must have been in a particularly nice place in the sky and I was drawn down towards the Liffey, and I remember my breath being taken away and thinking, wow, there's this huge natural resource that flows right through the middle of the city, but we don't engage with it. And there and then I kind of thought, wow, I'd love to swim there. And about a year later, I was commissioned by the OPW to make an exhibition. So I thought, okay, here's my chance. I'm going to make a film and a series of photographs about swimming in the Liffey.
Fergal, people must think you're crazy when they see you swimming in there. But what does the water taste like anyway?
Well, because it rises on a mountain in County Wicklow with bogs around it, it's quite peaty. You know, you get that taste of turf in your mouth. So for the first swim, you know, I'd been training for several months and I mimicked the route of the official Liffey swim. It's about 2 kilometres, I think. About 5 minutes into it, you know, I was doing the front crawl, so your face is in the water and you're really tasting it. I thought, oh no, I can't keep going here. The taste is too... It wasn't that it was too bad, but it's otherworldly. It's hard to describe, but it's like you've got a mouthful of turf or something and very difficult to get used to. And I persevered and I did breaststroke for a while and then stuck my head back in. And you get used to it after a while. But certainly the first time, it's a very odd taste. I don't think I ever swallowed it, but certainly it's slushing around your mouth and your teeth. And it doesn't feel dirty, it's peaty. A very unique taste.
And Fergal, has the water ever made you sick?
Well, I got in touch with the body that organises the official Liffey swim every year, and they advise that at the end of a swim you should drink a can of Coke. I don't know what the science behind that is, but supposedly it will kill any germs in your system. And all the people that do the official Liffey swim, this is what they do at the end of it. But I've never been sick, I don't think, as a result of being in the Liffey.
So we'll have to test that Coke theory. Fergal was mentioning the Liffey swim, and I caught up with a few veteran Liffey swimmers down by the port to get their take or taste on the water.
I don't think I've ever swallowed it. I've tasted it all right, and it tastes terrible.
Tastes like cold, brackish water.
The taste is not very good, but I didn't swallow, but it just had the taste in my mouth, and it's a bit disgusting.
It doesn't taste good at all.
I've swallowed the water. The water tastes salty, or it tastes sort of diesel-y, maybe, you know.
So that last voice there is champion North Channel swimmer Fergal Somerville, and he's very kindly fetched me a few glasses of that Liffey water. It's not very clear, to say the least. So I'm going to take it down to Ringsend, to the city analysts at the wastewater treatment plant, and see what exactly those guys have been swallowing. But first, hi there, sorry, excuse me, would you drink this? It's a glass of water from the Liffey.
No, I would not. There is a risk of Wales disease.
If it was filtered, I would drink it, yes.
No, I wouldn't drink water from the Liffey. It's not clean.
Well, I think it's polluted. It has every kind of dirt and shit you can get in it.
No, no way, no way.
Yeah, I'd drink the water if it was filtered. Sure, we already do.
So a few passers-by there, happy to drink it once it's filtered. And I'm going to find out how we do that. But I'm back in City Analysts in Ringsend now with lab manager Melissa Brady to find out just what was in that glass that I dropped in last night. Now, Melissa, I've seen you've done a rake of tests with my lovely peaty water. But what did you find? Can you tell me what all that yellow is there?
This is your Liffey water, and as you can see, we were hoping for a completely clear pouch, so no colours, but we can see loads of yellow colour here in this pouch. And basically the pouch is divided into two parts, and we have big wells and small wells, and we're looking at colour change in the pouch. So a colour change indicates that the organism has a specific enzyme, okay, which in the presence of a substrate will break it down and cause a colour change. So what we did last night is we took your sample, we poured it into the top of this pouch here, sealed the pouch, incubated at 37 degrees overnight. As you can see, there's a colour change now. We can see yellow wells, which we didn't want to see. We wanted it to be clear for it to be okay for drinking. But we can see numerous wells. So we can see approximately 30 large wells and 3 small wells. And that translates to thousands of coliforms, which is not a good sign for drinking water.
Melissa, tell me the truth. Can I drink my glass of water?
Well, I wouldn't drink it personally. The guidelines say that the limit for drinking water is zero for these particular organisms. And you can see here this reaction is more or less in the thousands. So no, you couldn't drink this water. It would not be safe.
So no surprises there. Melissa found E. coli and lots of other nasties in my Liffey water. So if a can of Coke is keeping Fergal and the swimmers healthy, it's definitely powerful stuff. But I'm at the Fingal Water Treatment Plant in Leixlip now to find out how we clean the Liffey. I'm meeting a man who's responsible for checking that our water is okay to drink.
I'm Dara Page. I'm an inspector with the Environmental Protection Agency, and I'm responsible for ensuring the quality of our drinking water is safe.
So Dara, just how important is the Liffey for us as a source of drinking water?
About 25 to 30% of the whole water that's used for Ireland to supply drinking water comes from the River Liffey. And it comes primarily from two sources. One here at the Leixlip Water Treatment Works, which supplies about 10% of the country. And then another one up at Blessington Lakes, which is near Ballymore Eustace, where we get around 15 to 20% of our water. So it's quite a significant amount of water for the whole country comes from the River Liffey.
And where else are we getting the rest of our water from?
It comes from all over, really. There is about 1,000 public water supplies in Ireland. So if you can imagine, the other 998 supplies provide the rest of the water, the rest of the 75%. So we have a few large supplies. We have about 8 of them that supply half the country. They can come from everything from a river like the Shannon, or they could come from a small borehole, a groundwater source that might only supply 2, 3, 4 houses. So if you have, for example, a river like the Liffey here, where there's a lot of potentially pollutant sources in the catchment, like wastewater treatment, there's agriculture, there's lots of different sources, then you have to have a lot higher level of treatment than you would, for example, if you had a borehole in a remote area. You would have to have very little treatment on it.
And why is that, Dara?
Well, it's because there are potential sources of pollution everywhere in our environment. Even if you have a stream up on the side of a mountain, there still might be a sheep up there, there still might be deer, there are birds. And all of those animals produce feces which can get into the water supply. So surface waters, rivers or lakes, it's never safe to drink those without any treatment, because there's always going to be some level of fecal contamination in them. Whereas groundwater sources, if you have a very well constructed borehole, you've protected around the source of your borehole and you've built it in accordance with the best standards, then you may not need to have treatment on it. So as a general rule, the water coming from a river or a lake in Ireland, or in any other country for that matter, is never safe to drink without some form of treatment.
So I'm walking into the treatment plant itself now, and I can see plant manager John Keane just up ahead. John, what's going on in here? It's a bit like a water factory, isn't it?
Well, we produce about 165 million litres of clean water a day through the plant. We take in approximately about 175 million litres and we process the equivalent of 165. So we're producing quite a large volume.
Now, I know Micheál Brún mentioned every adult uses 150 litres daily. So let me do the maths. That means that's well over 1 million people that you're supplying every day. So I guess what everyone wants to know is, how do you do it? How do you clean that contaminated Liffey water I had and turn it into something that comes out of my tap that I can drink?
When it comes into our plant, we first of all treat it with aluminium sulfate, which is added as a coagulant. And I suppose in general terms, what the aluminium sulfate does is it takes the particulate matter that's in the water and creates what we would affectionately call is a bit like a snowflake. Then as the water comes through the plant, through our flash mixer system, we apply polyelectrolyte, which is like a wallpaper paste. It's like a glue, which causes the particulate matter that's in the water to stick together. Then that comes through our system. We have settlement tanks that the water is pushed up through, and all the dirt and particulate matter that's in the water collects in there and drops to the bottom of the tank and then is taken away. So the water that is left is then taken and is put through our filters, and the water is filtered down through that. And then when the clear water comes out the other end, we treat it with chlorine. It's our final level of disinfection. And we add fluoride. And then water is then put into our high lift pumps here, and then it's pumped into our reservoir complex in Ballycoolan, and then we provide water from there to the greater Fingal area, Dublin City, and a small part of Meath.
Okay, so we have a bit of a canary in a coal mine here, I guess. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
Yeah, we have two fish tanks in Leixlip where we have rainbow trout. Now, these, historically, many years ago, were used as fish monitors. Before the electronic monitoring we have, they would have used fish. Now, years ago, there used to be a plate underneath these tanks, and that plate would actually set an alarm off, and then the operator would then begin to have a look to see what was causing this change. So the tanks that we have here now are more for a visual. They demonstrate what filtered water looks like versus what raw water looks like. So as you see here, this is our filtered water, and it looks pretty clean. The tank adjacent to it is our raw water supply. Today, it's a good day. It looks a little bit like a very, very, very weak cup of tea.
But it's definitely, you can see, it's much darker.
It is much darker, but there are days when you come in and that water looks like hot chocolate.
It will change that much from day to day?
If you have a large rain weather event where you have 2 or 3 days of heavy rain, you get a lot of wash off on the catchment. So you get a lot of organics coming into the river, and it will change the consistency of the water coming in. So that will change and almost go to the same colour as hot chocolate.
So what's really amazing about the process that John Keane is describing is that literally just 1% of all the water that's purified as clean to drink in plants like this is actually consumed by humans. The rest we just use to wash, flush toilets, or even water our gardens. And in the last year, we've seen several instances when, despite all our rain and river water, our clean water supply has gone dry.
Dublin City. You've been hearing about it on the programme all morning and the outage overnight. Well, according to some water users
tonight, due to a problem at the main water treatment plant. With us is Dublin City engineer Michael Phillips. Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
So just to be clear about this before we talk about the restrictions, is it that there's something different about the water?
Well, every stream is actually different. It tells a different story because of where it rises.
The problem at the Ballymore Eustace plant, which also treats Liffey water, is that the water changes seasonally. So heavy rains can wash more materials into the water, and then the filtering process has to adjust. For scientists like Micheál Brún, water charges and water conservation have to be part of our future.
To manage water resources in the future, we're going to have to take a much broader approach than in the past and look at the national picture and be prepared to move water around from one area to another. In the past, the tendency was to look for local sources of water to supply whatever need there was. Now, in certain areas, particularly Dublin, the local sources of water have reached the capacity to supply the demand. So any future increase in capacity will have to be met from water sources quite far away from Dublin.
But besides its availability, perhaps one of the most controversial aspects of Irish water is that addition of fluoride in the treatment plants. We're unusual in Europe, where the trend is very much against fluoridation and where it's been abandoned in other countries like Germany and the Netherlands. So is it safe? And why do we continue to do it?
Well, in Ireland, there has been a public health policy, a decision by the Minister for Health to add fluoride to water. We've looked at the whole issue. We've looked at the science behind it. We've looked at the safety. And in my view, at the levels that fluoride is added to drinking water, there are no food safety issues. And if there were, we would be advising the Minister accordingly.
Alan Riley is CEO of the Food Standards Authority.
At the present moment, the levels are running about 0.6 to 0.8. They'll be in line with things like WHO guidelines. We've looked at the science behind it. Our scientific committee has looked at the science behind it. And as far as we're concerned, there's no public health problem. Now, we are looking at it again. We do what I would call a total diet study, where we go out and look at everything that people are eating. We take samples of foods, we cook the foods exactly as you would cook them in the home, and then we analyse these for various chemicals. And we are looking at one of those chemicals we are looking at in the total diet study that's going on at the present moment is fluoride. So again, we will be able to see what the public health impact of the level of fluoride being added to water is. But really, as far as we're concerned, there is no food safety issue associated with it.
So it seems where fluoride is concerned, watch this space. But that question is very much a luxury one for the developed world. With the impact of climate change, many describe clean water as the new oil. So precious, as Micheál Brún describes it, that it will be the cause of our next generation of conflicts and wars.
In areas where water is very, very scarce, there's the potential that conflicts could actually arise that are almost intractable and that will require some sort of international agreements. There are already international agreements about sharing water on the Nile, for instance. But as different countries grow and as their population changes and their lifestyle changes, there will be different demands from these countries. So yes, water is very, very important, and there is the potential for conflict where it's not being shared equally. And it's very, very important that we put systems in place to deal with these potential sources of conflict.
So next time you fill a glass of water in your kitchen, think about its long journey across the planet, from perhaps the frozen Arctic all the way to the River Liffey, passing through hundreds of humans before its highly scientific purification process in plants like leekslip. And maybe think before you flush it all away or leave that tap running. I'm Dr. Lara Dungan, and this is Science is Everywhere. Thanks for listening.